Welcome to AM Best Audio.
20 years after Hurricane Katrina, the event remains a defining moment for the insurance industry. It exposed critical gaps in risk assessment, claims infrastructure, and disaster response. Since then, insurers have implemented major improvements in catastrophe modeling, regulatory coordination, and preparedness strategies. The legacy of Katrina continues to influence how the insurance industry manages large-scale events and invests in long-term resilience across increasingly volatile risk landscapes. I'm John Weber for AM Best Audio, and joining us now to discuss that is David Blades, an associate director of AM Best. David, as always, great to see you.
Great to see you, John.
So, David, what key lessons did the insurance industry take from Hurricane Katrina, and how have they shaped today's disaster response?
Well, I think that's a big question. I think the industry took a lot of lessons from Hurricane Katrina. I think the first thing that comes to mind, when you think about the fact that most of the damage and most of the losses that were came out of Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans were flood-related, I think the flood component, as it's related to hurricanes, I think was a big thing that Hurricane Katrina shined a light on it for the industry. Not that the industry wasn't aware, obviously, of flood losses post the hurricane, but I think the fact that they were so intense and so much of the loss that came out of that that particular hurricane was, flood oriented. I think there was more resources poured into understanding, flood preparedness, and just understand, from a modeling standpoint, integrating more, in terms of the flood component of hurricane and hurricanes and understanding that. I think that's one thing that definitely came out of Hurricane Katrina. I think just understanding storm surge and factoring that into, loss estimates and modeling, and for insurance companies to understand the potential for storm surge to inflate claims and how that played into their own portfolio management. I think that was a big thing, and again, we're talking 20 years ago now. I think, it's become much more routine to be on top of that. But I think storm surge and even demand surge and how that comes out of, again, these, whether it's coastal storms or whatever, type of, thing we're talking about in terms of disasters, natural disasters, weather-related disasters. I think the demand surge, again, and how it impacts claim costs, I think that was another thing that, again, this particular storm shined its light on. Katrina ushered in just a new era for catastrophe modeling in general. I think catastrophe modeling has expanded so much since Katrina in terms of the factors that are more proactively considered and more comprehensively considered. Like I said, the demand surge, the storm surge, just understanding back-to-back, the impact on insurers of back-to-back storms. That year, obviously, we had Katrina and followed by Rita and Wilma. Not necessarily in the same area, but for the insurance industry, very impactful from an overall standpoint. So I think those factors, I think there's a lot more in terms of resources that's been poured into building resilience and making sure, upgrading codes, but from an insurance company standpoint, just being even more on top of building construction and the suitability of that construction for flood these types of flood events. So I think Hurricane Katrina brought forth a number of different factors that it shined the light on and that have continued to be integrated and to be become more and more ingrained in everyday property insurance underwriting and claims handling.
How has underwriting, catastrophe modeling, and claims handling improved since Katrina, David?
So I think, from an underwriting standpoint, I think, initially what you saw were, more usage of hurricane deductibles. I think, we saw specifically coming out of post-Katrina, I think we saw more companies using hurricane-specific deductibles. And I think there, it's different than just a flat dollar deductible in terms of they're calculated as an overall percentage of the value of the property. So I think, utilizing those kinds of deductibles from an insurance company standpoint, I think we saw that, more often. I think, just like I said, in terms of insurance companies and how how they engaged their modeling companies, the fact that they're using 2 and 3 modeling companies now and making sure that they're getting more information, and then using that information to direct their strategic underwriting, their strategic, how they're looking at their risk profile, how they're looking at their limits profile. I think, you know, those things have also come out of Hurricane Katrina. I think just in terms of policy language, one of the biggest things that came out of Katrina was just, the litigation that surrounded a lot of the claims, the issue of wind damage compared to flood damage and whether claims should be paid or whether there was coverage in the insurance policy. So I think there's been a lot more intellectual capital put into the policy writing and just tightening up the policy language. And I think that's, that's another factor I think that's improved in terms from an underwriting standpoint. And like I said early, also just in terms of better understanding and being more proactive in dealing with your insureds, whether they're personal lines, and homeowners and risks or commercial property risks, just from a building resilience perspective on a proactive basis. Insurance companies utilizing their loss control and their engineering facilities to help make sure that their portfolios are better protected, or that the policyholders in their portfolio are better protected, or at least protected at a level that matches, the underwriting and the pricing that the insurance companies have done for their overall book of business.
Do you think the industry is better prepared to handle large-scale catastrophes like Katrina, or are there still vulnerabilities?
I think now the industry, because of all the advancements since then, you just think about technology and the way technology, and I'm not even just talking about AI and things of that nature, but just the more granular nature of the analysis of the data that's available now to understand trends, to understand what we're seeing, that dealing with this, what we've dealt with now is a greater frequency of volatile weather events. So I think Hurricane Katrina and what we've seen in the 20 years since, I think have caused the insurance industry to take better steps at really better identifying how susceptible and specific to insurance companies, how susceptible their books of business are to hurricanes like this, and even in a greater understanding of secondary perils. Obviously, Hurricane Katrina was a tropical cyclone, but more of the losses that we've seen in property insurance affecting, again, both personal lines and commercial lines have come from secondary perils. And I think the models, the catastrophe models that are being used by the insurance companies have incorporated more and more of this information. So I do think, in that way, we've seen a lot of, a lot of progress. Again, like I said, the granularity of the data that companies can use to really hone in on their vulnerabilities within their books of business and to help them create strategies in terms of where they want to write, and in terms of within a state, what territories, what towns, what areas within that state they want to write, to understand the impact that we've seen from the migration of people moving, because they want to, moving to coastal areas, and what that's done to these perils, creating more losses because you got more people in a lot of cases more higher valued homes in coastal areas. So insurance companies have had to look at their portfolios and be more aware of what that means to them in terms of these, the potential for, a big storm coming and hitting any of the different areas, coastal areas, what that might mean to their book of business. So I think, we've definitely seen that. I think there definitely are still, vulnerabilities. I think we still have, a ways to go, even from just the standpoint of, I said earlier about studying and understanding secondary perils, I think there's still a lot more that has to be done with that. Modelers have been looking at earthquake and hurricanes for decades. Secondary perils have really, come under the microscope the last 10 or 15 years. So I think the wealth of information, the wealth of data, the depth of that data is not the same place for the secondary perils as it is for the primary perils. But I do think that's one thing that we definitely, where there's still some vulnerability. And I definitely think there's still some vulnerability. Again, there are certain states like Florida that have passed legislation, regulation that's helping in terms of upgrading building codes and more of those newer structures, you know, being in line with those building codes, and then that helping with the ability to withstand hurricanes such as, you know, the next big ones that are coming through. But I think there's still some vulnerability there as well. So I think, you know, there's been a lot of progress, but there's still some vulnerabilities that you have to deal with. And I think, you know, I think the tools are there, the technology is there, and I think there's no excuse. The awareness is there. And I think, you know, we'll continue to see the insurance industry make progress with regards to those questions.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
Beyond the technology, do you think things like regulatory changes and public and private partnerships are shaping the way that we're looking at these large-scale natural disasters?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, there are and there have been some useful public and private partnerships that have resources have been put out. You know, I've seen the, organizations and some of those organizations trying to help policyholders by, you know, encouraging them to retrofit, you know, their properties and again build up the resilience, enhance the building construction, the standards of newer constructed properties that are going up. So I think there's been some meaningful progress made in terms of the private and public partnership. When we look at the premiums in terms of private flood and federal flood, I think we've seen over the last 7 or 8 years definitely some movement. I think, you know, if you look back to 2014 when the NAIC first started capturing private flood data, I think from then to now, private flood accounted for maybe 12% of the market. Now it's gotten up in that high 20s, so we are definitely seeing more partnership there with, in terms of private insurance companies being incentivized, because of some of the progress that's been made in some different areas with regards to, you know, property insurance and, you know, property modeling, and like I said, the technology is put more resources so that they can feel better and more comfortable with their underwriting and their pricing. I think we've definitely seen some progress in those areas. So I think, you know, in terms of, what we're seeing and where we're at now, I definitely think there's been progress in terms of, like I said, loss control. There's been progress in terms of underwriting and policy writing and clarifying policy language. And I think there's been progress in terms of public and private partnership. But in that way, I think we still have a good ways to go because, again, the volatility that we've seen in the last several years, be it wildfires, be it, you know, hurricanes, be it tornadoes that are affecting areas of the country that weren't just in the, you know, tornado alley, but now you're seeing that move into other states. I think there's still a lot of challenges that still need to be met in this regard.
Let's talk about that then. What do you see as the future of hurricane risk management?
So I think, you know, going forward, I think we're going to see, again, more usage of the evolving or emerging technology. I think we're going to see, AI play a part in even like the Internet of Things, AI, being able to get more information to insurance companies ahead of time to see when storms might be forming. You know, to understand things, you know, again, to be more proactive. So I think we're going to see technology be able to put insurance companies and policyholders, agents and brokers in a position where they can more proactively deal with the possibilities and with the susceptibility of properties to potential losses. And I think that's going to put them, put the insurance companies in a better position to make strategic decisions. So I think technology is going to help. And I think definitely in terms of just continuing on with enhanced and improved building standards, I think, again, regulations that are being passed to help property owners, retrofit their properties, you know, there's new properties being built that are more aerodynamic, so to be able to withstand, some of these storms. Some of the, roofs are being made with the ability to again, withstand, on a primary and even on a secondary level, be able to withstand the rain and the potential rain that might come from tornadoes and hurricanes. So I think on a going forward basis, I think the technology, I think, is going to play a huge part. And I think the continued public-private partnerships that we talked about, and I think just the proving the additional enhancement from an overall building construction and building resilience perspective. I think the resources that are being poured into those areas are going to, they'll be the most important part of how well the insurance industry will deal with similar storms going forward, like Hurricane Katrina.
Thanks, David.
No problem, John. Thank you.
That was Associate Director David Blades, and I'm John Weber for IM Best Audio.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.